Saga of the Change is an actual play podcast using the World of Darkness system about survival in a magical, post-apocalyptic world, and therefore may contain language and material not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh my god, I exist!
The Charby exists. Rejoice.
Hey, coffee is not doing it today.
That's rough.
More coffee. Well, I had to do fasted labs this morning also, so I skipped coffee on the way out the door and did not acquire.
Maybe you should just, you know, give up your caffeine addiction and you'd be fine.
Maybe
you should just crunch on coffee beans.
Yeah, you know. All right, well, Charby.
Grow up and do cocaine.
Brother, I've considered it. Anyway. On another special solo episode of Charby in Paradise, Naomi has been persisting in Kirkland. Having shaken off the what the fuckery of that trip to Atlantis, she has been hanging out in Kirkland, helping out with typical winter chores and fiddling with the assorted spiritual artifacts that she had delivered by Nabutada some time ago, and working to figure those out.
Approximately how much time has passed since the party has separated?
2 days.
2 days, okay.
To give you kind of the timeline, I don't think you've been listening to the episodes, because that would kind of be counterproductive.
That would defeat the point.
Your last adventure happened on the day they were journeying north from the Fuck Hotel.
Yep.
And they had a day of investigations. At the end of that, they traveled to a town and had most of a day wrapped around that. And then a third day, I think they are at 4 days out currently.
Okay.
With what's happening in the main timeline. So you're like smack in the middle.
Yeah.
So, Naomi is in Moletown, studying some of the items that were brought back, slowly trying to figure everything out. What does this do? What are its effects? How do they work together, etc.? Loki, please stop screaming at me.
It's not an episode without Loki screams.
And there is a knock on the door that leads down into Moletown. Naomi is fully aware that Chase's employees are upstairs doing what they do. It's the middle of the day. Okay, Loki. Jesus Christ. You're in my lap. Congratulations. Please calm down. But they don't usually come down here. This is, like, where Chase lives, and it's weird to just, like, go where your boss lives, even if he's underneath the shop. So it's a little startling at first that someone is tentatively knocking on the door.
Well, what Naomi will do? Look up from what she is currently looking at and go get the door.
It is the older lady that works for Chase, whose name I do not remember off the top of my head. It's in my notes somewhere, but I'm not digging it up. But she's there. And kind of wiping her hands with a rag, looking a little nervous. Naomi, dear.
Hello. How can I help you?
So we got a message, from one of the gate guards. He said, well, I'm not sure what this was all about, but he said something about he saw a giant bird fly over the town and land in the woods. And he said that you would know what that was all about. Maybe.
Yeah, I think I do. Can you tell me which gate I need to go to?
The East Gate.
Thank you very much. I will head there right away.
Good. Stay safe. Oh. And she tromps back up the stairs to go back to work. Milo, for his
part...
For
what it's worth, the door would be leading directly outside rather than into the shop itself anyway.
Yeah. Milo, for his part, has been MIA all day. For reasons that'll be revealed eventually.
Not that unusual for him anyway.
It's not. So, any particular tasks before heading off into the woods?
Grabbing backpack, grabbing sword, grabbing crossbow, outfitting, prepping, never know what shit's gonna happen, still kind of shaken up from the vampire encounter a few days ago. And yeah. She is going to grab one of the skateboards, and she will use that to get to the gate a little bit faster.
Marvelous. So you arrive at the gate.
A hopper on her.
Smart. You arrive at the gate, and Emil, in fact, is the one that sent word. And he is waiting basically where the gate slides back to pull it back and open it up. You got my message, I'm guessing.
A giant bird in the woods?
Yeah, remember the redhead chick came with the fairies, Big Bird?
Uh-huh.
He holds his arms out, like, super wide, like, when he says Big Bird. Big,
Emil,
big
you're
bird.
Not, your arms aren't gonna reach that far. The big hawk, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure it was that bird.
Okay.
In the woods, out there, somewhere. Isn't that where the fairy chick is? Like, that way?
Yeah, the fairy chick is out that way.
Figured that might be important.
All right, I will go see if she needs anything.
Okay. And he rolls the gate back with kind of a dramatic flourish of the way is clear. All right, don't like die or anything.
The Charby urge to immediately respond with, don't tell me what to do. But anyway, she'll nod to him and continue out.
Okay. This is familiar territory. Usual woods that lead up towards Dot's area. It's cold as balls because Starks are always right. Winter is coming. And it is, in fact, here.
Oh, in that case, she probably wouldn't have brought the skateboard.
If you're going into the woods, you're not going to get far with the skateboard. So.
Well, she would have... If the roads were clear, she would have used it to get to the gate faster, but...
I mean, they're keeping the roads passable inside the town.
Probably just would have left it at home.
Valid.
Oh, well.
But... it's fairly visible. Most of the greenery has died back. The trees, the leaves are off most of the trees. So you can see fairly far through the forest at this point. There's bushes here and there, and this time, as best you can tell, all of the evergreen bushes you see are in fact bushes, and not teenagers pretending to be bushes.
Fair enough.
And you see... instead of following the trail off to the, you know, slight curve to the southeast that leads towards the border with the little dreaming pocket where Dot lives, you can see the giant hawk, about 100 yards through the trees, kind of due east. Excuse me. So not heading for Dot. And really, you can just see, like, the back of the bird, which does not appear to have Celeste on it. the saddle is there, but Celeste is not. What do?
Remind me what the bird's name was again.
I don't know that y'all ever actually got the bird's name. Because you got the giant owl's name.
True.
But I don't know that you ever got the hawk's name.
Well, in that case, Naomi is going to hang back a bit, but call out, "Hello, Celeste, I'm not sure if you're here, but this is Naomi."
The bird definitely hears you.
Of course.
And turns and looks over its shoulder, blinking at you, as if slightly surprised. And then you hear through the woods, very loudly, a frog. Which is incongruous, because, as stated, it's fucking winter. It's also, if that is a frog, it's a very large frog.
How large are we talking?
Quite possibly concerningly large. Like, frogs are loud, but that sounds bigger than loud. You're 100 yards away, and you heard it clearly.
Well, Naomi is going to start approaching.
Okay.
Given that she now has gotten the hawk's attention and won't be surprising it.
Smart. As you draw closer, you, in fact, see Celeste, who has taken note of your approach. She steps around the side of the hawk, kind of patting its wing a little as she does. And you see that she is not comported in her full knightly plate armor that you have seen her in the past. She's wearing fairly basic, kind of medieval-style traveling clothes. Like, just pants and leather. Like, leather arms for a tiny bit of armor. A hood, cape, all that nonsense. Good stuff for traveling in the winter. Oh, hello. You must have seen me fly over.
I was told that you were spotted. How's it going, Celeste?
Well, in fact, I was going to come visit you. I was meeting someone with information. And she steps back a little bit. And you see the source of the frog noise. Give me one moment. I will post a bit of art. As I describe this new person. If my computer will cooperate. It is a very short man with a long beard and a pointy hat. In point of fact, you had to say anything, you're pretty sure that's a gnome. You're not sure those exist, but like, that looks like a gnome.
Bro, there's a gnome equivalent living in Moletown right now. She's not questioning it.
And next to him is a frog that is easily as large as he is and is wearing a harness that appears like one you would put on a big pit bull that you don't want running off. Frog just kind of looks at you froggishly. It's hard to figure out what a frog is thinking when it looks at you. But the gnome, if that's what he is, kind of pulls him up to his full, pulls himself up to his full, like, you know, 3 foot height, and regards you rather seriously. Oh, hello. And who might you be?
Naomi gives a short bow and says, "My name is Naomi. I am from Kirkland."
Ah, I've heard the name. I am Adelbert Frederick Gunter Karl von Starheim, Esquire.
How do you prefer to be addressed?
You can call me Carl.
Nice to meet you, Carl.
Say, what do you think of the frog?
I think he is quite large and quite handsome.
Ah, he's just a wee baby where he comes from.
He's the largest frog that I have ever seen.
You must not have seen many frogs, then.
Admittedly, I'm quite the city girl, so you may be right.
Well, I've done me duty. I'll be on me way. And he pats the frog, and suddenly vanishes. Celeste, for her part, looks mildly embarrassed. Carl is,
quite the character?
Took the words right out of my mouth. Yes. But he seems to go everywhere and see everything. For some reason, I wish I knew why. I also wish I knew why he feels the need to drag a frog from the far dreaming with him, but, you know, the frog doesn't seem to mind. Anyway, he has told me a few things that I would like to check out. And to be frank, it would be easier to bring you along than to come back and tell you what I find. Interested in the light today?
I'll admit it's a little better than just staying at home twiddling my thumbs, so I'm up for it.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that it was just you that turned up.
The rest are out working on some serious business at the moment. I'm staying behind to keep an eye on Kirkland.
Smart, I suppose. Well, she turns your attention towards the board. I've had some modifications done to my harness. It's a little bit of a heavy load, but you're small. I think she can carry both of us.
Well, if it's too much of a strain, I can probably figure out an alternative, but if we're ready to give this a try, I've got everything I need.
Certainly. And she kind of gestures to the bird as if to tell you to walk up closer.
Naomi does.
And you find yourself picked up and placed on the bird. It's unexpected and a little unnerving because she doesn't, like, she's a tall woman, but she doesn't look like she could just casually pick you up like she's picking up a toddler, but she does. And rather quickly, she straps your legs into the harness so that you will not fall off, because unlike horses, birds have a tendency to turn upside down.
At the very least, turning sideways is enough to mess with most people.
Indeed. That doesn't take her more than a minute, and she is climbing onto the harness of the bird herself, and only very lightly strapping herself in. Definitely not to the degree of, like, clamping your thighs to the back of the bird the way that she did with you.
She knows what she's doing, and she's also stronger than Naomi. It's understandable.
Yeah. And within just a moment, you're on a giant bird charging into the sky.
She's about as thrilled about it as the first time, which is not at all.
Couldn't be more different than Chase.
Of course. He is the thrill seeker. Naomi is not.
Yeah. You expect, as you get higher and higher, for it to get much, much colder. It does not. You can feel the wind whipping around you that should be absolutely freezing you to the bone. But there seems to be a general feeling of warmth coming off of Celeste, the bird, or both. And you feel quite comfortable. Before long, you are cruising along at probably airliner altitude. You're fucking up there, dude. And you can see the vast expanse of the world below you.
Naomi is going to rectify something.
Okay.
Gonna lean forward and call out over the wind to Celeste. So, what is your hawk's name?
Oh. Her name is Maeve. I'm sorry I never told you.
We were more than a little bit distracted at the time. It's okay.
Maeve, for her part, kind of looks back and just... And then carries on. As if to say, yes, that's me. Hi, I heard my name.
That's the main thing. Naomi just realized that they hadn't gotten Maeve's name.
Okay. Below you, Kirkland is a tiny dot in the distance. And you can see a few other dots here and there of smaller towns and cities. And way off on the edge of the horizon, the sprawling expanse of Chicago. That is the direction in which Celeste is flying. From most of the towns and villages you fly over, there's at least a little smoke rising. And you can kind of tell which ones are the most intact or the most habitated by how much smoke is rising. Some are wholly abandoned, some have just a campfire here and there, some there's a fire seemingly in every chimney. And there are also several large, sprawling camps of just people between here and Chicago.
That tracks.
Ramshackle lean-tos and huts, tents here and there, but basically just large fields where people decided they had nowhere else to go and stopped. There's smoke rising from those as well. And you fly over one and get kind of a harsh, acrid smell as you do so that tells you they're probably burning trash. Either they've run out of wood, don't have the tools to harvest good wood, or for whatever reason have opted to burn less than suitable items for the purpose of not freezing to death. Before long, though, Celeste and Maeve begin reducing altitude. And dip down towards a patch of trees. You can kind of feel yourself rising out of the harness. If you weren't strapped in, you would detach from the bird as the bird goes into close to freefall. Celeste, for her part, has a look of wild joy on her face as she's doing this. Like Chase, she is a bit of a thrill seeker.
Naturally.
Okay. She parks the bird with a kind of a like a running landing or coming in hot, scattering snow everywhere, laughing the entire time. And then turns to you once she comes to a stop. Carl told me about something up ahead that I think we should investigate. But if he was right about what he saw, I think we should approach on the ground and get a good look rather than fly over and have them see us.
And what exactly are you expecting to find?
Fortifications? He called it a fort. Seems someone's building.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea for us to get an eye on that.
Splendid. She makes no move to, like, tie up the bird or restrain the bird like you would a horse. It just nests down in the trees.
The bird is likely more intelligent than most people.
It, in fact, is more intelligent than most people. But she unstraps you from the harness and points to the east. It's supposed to be off that way. Shall we?
Lead the way and I'll follow.
And she does. You see that she does have her sword. And her shield is over her back. But the rest of her armor was left not here. You follow Celeste through the patches of trees until you come to the edge of a unplanted farm field. Like much of this part of the world was farming territory until it was abandoned in the change. And this is far enough away from anyone's points of habitation that no one has reclaimed it and started farming it again.
Right.
For now. And as you reach the edge of the tree line, you can see what Celeste was making for. The word fort is probably accurate. Equally accurate would be the word castle. Ahead of you are two... There's a spot where two highways come very close together. They don't quite intersect, but they reach a point where they swoop in and then diverge. Both going... Basically, there's one going west, one going east, and they kind of just come together and then separate. You're pretty sure that the highway to your south is the one that you took when you guys were leaving Chicago and heading west on your way to Kirkland in the first place. And smack in the middle, where those two highways intersect, someone is building a very large castle. It is constructed, or is being constructed, of large bricks of white stone. those bricks of white stone are being moved not only by human laborers, but seemingly by magic. Because some of them are simply floating and being stacked and locked in place by no visible means.
That doesn't feel like it's the best sign. Naomi is going to close her eyes and turn on Prime Vision to double check if it is mage magic being used.
Go for it.
Wholly unnecessary. 5 successes.
That is excessive. But accurate. It is, in fact, mage magic being used. Forces prime bit of matter. Give me wits occult.
Not Astoria. But I got a 788.
Okay. Through prime magic, looking at the big white stones as they're being stacked, you can catch little traces of magic from the stones themselves, not just from the magic that's being used to move them around. You've seen a little bit of this before. Chase has done some magic like this with Moltown. These stones are magically reinforced. At least lightly enchanted to shrug off more assault than a normal stone would. Call it, if you're familiar with what case hardening means in steel, similar concept, but with magic for rock. The design of the castle has it stretching over both highways and the railroad that runs down the middle of it. There are, at present, unfinished gatehouses covering all 3 of those, and the castle spread across the extent of it. Naomi is not a military mind by any means, but fortunately, Celeste is. And she points this out. You see how the castle covers all the roads with gates?
Yeah.
Whoever's building this clearly has it in mind to control the roadways. Transport, travel, trade. If you wanted to move an army, roads are the best way to do it. And you would want to know that you had control of it.
I also want to point out that that magic being used is mage work. And those stones are magically reinforced, so anyone trying to actually siege this place is going to have a hell of a time doing so.
I thought that might have been the case.
These are Risen Kingdom people.
Well, you tell me. And she points at a group of horsemen making their way up the road from the east. There are 12 of them in total. And the 3 in the lead are all in shiny black steel. Full plate armor. Unlike the Duchy and Kirkland, clearly with no interest in camouflaging their armor, it is enameled black. It shines in the sun. And the one in the lead, you haven't personally laid eyes on yet, but you've heard her described enough to know that this is the woman who crippled Dane and Bodhi and nearly killed Tristan. The one that Astoria and Olathe encountered in the library. Alexandra, the rogue Akashic. And riding behind her is a man holding a big black banner with a golden rose on it.
Without question, Risen Kingdom.
And those are the unpleasant people in Chicago?
That's putting it mildly, at least. They're the ones that seem to think that all mages need to be under their control or imprisoned and killed.
Interesting.
They've seriously harmed several friends of ours as well. Them getting even closer is not a good sign, and them fortifying all of this. God, I wish I could tell the others right now.
Well, I don't imagine there's much we or they can do about it right now. There seems to be a lot of them.
Yeah, and the sooner we spread this word to the people we know so that, I don't know, we can prepare, we can discuss, the better.
True. I will have to take word back to the Queen. These are developments she might find interesting. As you're watching, Alexandra and her retinue set to work touring, basically, the construction site. She's inspecting it. From this distance, you can't hear her. And it's kind of difficult to judge exactly what's going on down there. But her body language and the way everyone around her is kind of cringing a bit makes it pretty clear she's not happy. If you had to guess, probably she wants this thing built faster.
How far away are we? A
couple hundred yards.
Not worth it. Well, Naomi's not that interested in using correspondence magic when she knows that there are mages among them.
Probably a good idea.
Every once in a while she has those. Looking to control the movement around here. They're spreading even further out of Chicago. Makes me wonder if they've got stuff going on the other side of Chicago as well, or if this is the only outpost they're currently working on.
We can check.
I think that the more information we gather, the better right now.
back to Maeve it is. And she hops up and sets off back through the woods.
As they are walking, Naomi is going to be working on setting up a spell of her own. And you tell me if this is something possible.
Okay.
Naomi would like to work on setting up a field of correspondence around them, larger than what Maeve is, to be able to sense if they are coming into someone else's correspondence field and warning before they go into it.
Should be doable. I think.
You're the DM, you tell me. But we do have another DM in here that could also give some insight.
True. I would think if you're setting up a correspondence ward, you would know if it's being pinged.
Uh-huh.
In which case, that's really all you need, would really need. It would probably need to be a good bit more complex to, like, trace it. But with core 4, you should, and you can ward easily enough with core 4. So I don't see any reason you could not be aware of if someone's looking at it.
She does not yet have core 4. She's got core 3 and wasn't spent, technically was just short of the XP for core 4 before the Nafandi arc was going on.
Hold on, you can specifically ward against correspondence effects with 3, so that actually should be
okay
enough.
Because the idea is to be able to sense when they are coming into range with another correspondence ward, and hopefully have her own be subtle enough that they wouldn't be able to tell she knows.
Yeah. Valid.
So, that being said, as they are moving along, Naomi is going to be working on this spell.
Okay.
And if necessary, we'll take more than one round to do it. She may ritual about it if they need to. I'm gonna spend a willpower on this and then roll. With the willpower, 6 successes.
That's a lot of successes. That's a lot of damage.
And I think as they're getting into the air, she is going to try to have one more go about it because she is hyper paranoid when it comes to the Risen Kingdom.
Valid.
So let me know when you want that second roll.
Go for it. Yeah, she would just, as before, strap you and herself onto the bird and then take to the air. Heading north.
Without willpower, 6 more successes.
Calm down.
No!
Calm your tits!
So 12 successes on being able to tell where the fuck other people's correspondence effects are without them being able to tell hers.
Alrighty. She
just
goes...
Just in case.
Yeah. Maeve flies north and west, avoiding flying where you could be seen from the construction site. But as you go, you can see kind of a bubble radiating off of that, making it quite clear that it is warded against correspondence itself.
Going to be mentally taking a note of how far that bubble goes out.
For the moment, just far enough to cover the construction site. Like the couple hundred yards past where the actual work is being done.
Right.
Like where you spotted them on the highway, they probably would have been outside the bubble, but they pretty quickly would have slipped into it. So more or less, it's intended to hide it from anyone who might be explicitly looking for this kind of thing. Celeste flies north, circles around, and begins to head towards the east. Below you are some of the ever-sprawling suburbs of Chicago. Perception alertness. Diff 7 as you go.
USA.
Okay. Down below, you fly over yet another railroad. At first, it's just a railroad, and you don't think too much of it, until you realize there's something on it moving. And that's weird, because trains don't work anymore. Celeste, either noticing it herself or noticing that you've noticed.
I hope she notices. Naomi's perception alertness is not that high.
Dips a little lower to get a better view. Now, we're talking about flying at fucking airliner altitude here, so lower is a relative term. She's definitely still pretty well out of sight from the ground, unless someone is quite astute or scanning the air with a fucking telescope. And you realize that for most of the rail line that you can see, there are very large teams of horses hooked to train cars. Long trains of train cars. All being hauled southeast toward Chicago. A couple dozen of them, seemingly. They don't seem to have, at least from here, that you can obviously tell, things loaded on them. But someone is putting a lot of work into hauling them toward Chicago.
You said this was on the railroad, correct?
Correct.
So theoretically it could go to that new base?
It could.
Interesting.
Horses can't pull a train, a set of train cars as fast as a railway engine can, but they still move things a hell of a lot easier than putting them in a cart or having people carry them. And you continue your journey to the northeast. And before too long, you fly over a what looks to be kind of a state park smack in the middle of a bunch of suburbs. There's a scattering of lakes below you and some fairly large lakes, in fact. And you spot another construction site. This one is right alongside the edge of one of the lakes overlooking a bridge, which is being built into the castle. And it looks as if they have demolished a decent chunk of the town that went all the way up to the edge of that bridge in order to make way for the castle. And you see the same thing you saw before. big, heavy white stones. Magic being used, as well as manual labor. And it is about halfway complete.
Well, that's at least two.
And this one north of the city.
Does this one also have a correspondence ward?
It does.
This one's got another ward around it, so we need to make sure not to get too close. Did you say the other one would have been what direction from Chicago?
More or less due west. And this one is to the north. North-northwest.
Right.
So at this point, you know for sure there's at least two. And some attempt to form a perimeter around Chicago is underway.
I'm starting to think Chase may have had a point in getting the hell away from Chicago may be a good idea.
Perhaps. Perhaps there's something we can do about them.
Maybe, but they were bad enough when they were in Chicago alone.
She grins over her shoulder at you. You didn't know there were dragons back then.
True. And having dragons that are allies would make a huge difference.
Well, I can assure
you. You also know more mages now.
That neither our king nor our queen bow to these upstarts.
Though if they don't intend to be pushing in on your kingdom, will your king or queen take any interest in stopping them?
She's quiet for a second as she steers the bird away from the castle. I'm not sure. The king, more likely. The queen, perhaps not.
Gonna be important information we need to get before we start picking any fights. Because if they're willing to leave your kingdom alone, then I don't think that we really have enough firepower to really stand against them or stop them from moving further. But with your queen currently being in control, if she's willing to help out, then it's on the table at least.
It seems unlikely that they'll want to go to war in the winter. With any luck, we have time.
With luck, but with them currently building up their fortifications during the winter, that does also have me concerned of how much worse it's going to get.
Well, I guess I have a new thing to keep an eye out for.
It certainly seems that way. I am definitely glad that you heard about this, though.
There is one other thing I would like to investigate, if you have the time. Having company is nice.
At the moment, Celeste, I have nothing but time.
Wonderful. and she pulls for altitude again and heads east. Before long, you realize you are not over land anymore, but over Lake Michigan. And headed north. You can see, you're high enough off the ground that you can see the edges of the lake in either direction. And you're flying basically right down the middle of it at airliner altitude.
Okay.
It takes a while, even on a giant hawk. But candle went out. That's probably a bad omen, but you know. One moment. Okay. Candle relit.
Did you know if you never light a candle to begin with, you won't get these bad omens?
You reach what looks to be the northern edge of the lake. As a Chicago native, Naomi is roughly familiar with the area. Basically the northern tip of Michigan, near where Lake Michigan and Lake Huron come together. And Celeste sets the hawk to orbiting an island, a chain of islands, actually.
Excuse me. Whew.
And it brings herself down a little lower to get a better view. Perception alertness. Diff 7.
Why you gotta do this to me, man?
Because get fucked.
Fine, I will. Zero successes.
Okay.
There, Celeste, what do your elf eyes see?
Well, I had heard that there were some people taking up residence on these islands. And I think they were right.
Well, I guess if they're fishing all the time, then that solves a little bit of the food issue.
And she brings herself down lower. Perception alertness, diff 6.
Taking pity on me this time?
Yeah.
One suck. Not enough pity.
It's a fairly large island. And it seems to be in the process of being occupied. Someone has set up a fairly large camp here with at least a few thousand people and put up some kind of like wooden fort all around one of the lighthouses on the southern edge of the island. And you can see a couple of small sailboats kind of piddling around south of the island. Celeste points at the fort. That banner there, I see that a lot, but this is the first time I've seen someone put one up, like, after everything seems to have happened. Do you know what it is?
Can you please describe it again?
Red and white stripes and like stars. Like I see a lot of them.
Oh, that's the flag of the United States.
Oh. Is that important?
Not anymore.
Interesting.
It probably means that those may be mundanes down there.
Well, that would be my guess. They must think it's important if they put it up over their new fort.
Clinging to the olden days of trying not to let things change could mean that they're being patriotic and they're resilient, could mean that they're absolute fascist nationalists. Who knows?
Hmm. Well, I'm not sure what those words mean, but they don't sound nice.
It could be decent people, it could be bad people. It doesn't really tell us much.
Well, we know they're here now.
Is there any sort of correspondence effect around here?
Not a bit.
Okay, well, in that case, Naomi's going to whip out a compact and get a closer look, because she doesn't have special eyes.
Valid. All right. Roll it away, Naomi.
Now you find your fucking successes. Or suck for correspondence effect.
Okay. So, what you can see down below is some sort of small colony, it looks like. There's not much fishing going on now, given the season, but it certainly looks like that was happening before all of this. The large American flag flying over the little wood fort is not the only American flag that you see. Because the people moving around, working, building fortifications, building houses, there's easily several dozen just around that fort, several dozen kind of basic wood frame houses, like kind of what you would expect to see from like Jamestown or any of the old original settlements being built. And the people building them, about one in three or four is in an army uniform. They seem to be, well, a lot of them are doing manual labor, but they also seem to be in charge. The ones that are directing everything and telling people where to go and how to get there and what to do are definitely military officers. Alongside the little town that is being built by the fort and the lighthouse, sorry, that word just decided to leave for a moment. There are three large piers under construction jutting out into the lake. And next to those is a large boat on the shore being built. Out of wood. It bears a slight resemblance to like a Viking longship. I don't know that Naomi has the context to really know exactly what this is.
God, no.
But it's got one mast with a, like where you would put a sail right down the middle. And it looks like it's being fitted with oars all up and down both sides. In the fort itself, there are people standing guard. All of them in the military uniforms, army uniforms. with some additions. Most of them, on top of their army uniforms, are wearing armor. Kind of shoulder armor of like long metal slats, tall shields, like tower type shields, short swords, javelins, all in exactly the same pattern. No patchworks. Whoever is manufacturing and making their armor knows what they're on about, and they are making a point to have it all be standardized. Everyone's carrying the same gear, wearing the same armor, like a proper military. And Naomi may not be a history nerd, but she's seen some movies. The helmets and the shields in particular put her in mind of Roman legions.
Ben, I'm sorry. All I can think of right now is Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
This isn't too far from where they got their start.
True. But as far as she can tell, it doesn't. It looks like this is regular human stuff, mundane people.
Yep.
Going with Viking ships and Roman legion outfitting.
That is what their armor and weapons look like. Is Naomi has at least seen Gladiator at a minimum.
Yeah.
And
she likes the historical movies.
Yeah, that is pretty close to what it looks like. None of the red, because they're still in their multicam uniforms. It's a little odd to see the two combined. But yeah, the armor and weapons look to be Roman patterned.
I don't really know what to make of this now. Why going with Roman style armor?
Is that
bad? The apocalypse has made people weird.
Well, from what I've seen, your people were weird before the, what did you call it? Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Before we got here, anyway.
Oh, no, absolutely. It just feels like the apocalypse has made all the cosplayers come out. You don't know what that means either. Never mind.
She gives you a weird look. Decides it's not important. And, looks away. Well, now we know this is here. Interesting.
Gonna have to figure out how relevant this is going to be, how much we want to attempt to see about making contact and possibly allying. There are so many pieces on this chessboard. It's obscene. Okay, now we know this is here. This is here, and at least two forts from the Risen Kingdom are in progress. Good to know. Any bit of information helps.
True. Well, if you think you've seen what you need to see, I should probably get you home and take a report back.
Can you actually drop me off in a different section of the woods? There is a spirit I probably need to talk to you about all this.
Sure. And with one last circle of the island, she heads off to the south. A couple of hours later, she starts to swoop down over Kirkland again. All right. Point out the spot.
Naomi's going to direct her to the portion of the woods where she has met Monkey Maka before.
And she will do so. Lands the bird, and the bird kind of squints real hard into the forest. Like, very focused, very curious. But doesn't move. Celeste unstraps you from the saddle and helps you down to the ground. Well, that was fun. We should do that again sometime.
I would love to do that, honestly. And when you see him again, tell Jasper hi and I wish him well.
I will. He talks about you guys often.
Sweet. I wish you well, Celeste. Take care.
Take care. And she climbs onto the hawk and is gone. You getting pretty thoroughly blasted by snow as the bird powers into the air. Because
of course.
Big wings. What doing?
Naomi is going to walk a little deeper into the woods. See if anything comes out on its own, and if not, then she will be trying to make some calls.
Okay. As you approach the woods, you notice something a little odd. You've been through the woods enough to have a pretty good idea of, like, or this area enough to have a pretty solid idea of where the woods stopped and the farmland began. This is a little outside of the area where Kirkland, or this is a good bit outside the area where Kirkland has been farming. And there's been no sign of anybody from Kingston coming out to farm. But it's a little odd, because you're pretty sure the trees are further and closer to the road than they used to be.
So the forest is growing.
In a way that forests don't really grow. The spreading of a forest is a very slow process. These are full-size trees.
Look, the rules of reality no longer apply. We have accepted this.
Valid. So, Naomi.
Yes.
As you step up to the edge of the woods, perception alertness.
God damn it. Give me an awareness check for once in my life. Nine, seven, six, seven.
Okay. Milo steps out from behind one of the trees. Well, didn't think you were coming out here today.
I didn't think you were either.
Did you have fun with the bird?
I wouldn't necessarily call it fun, but it was insightful.
Hmm. Well, interesting things going on here.
What have you got? You tell me first and I'll tell you what I saw.
Come and see. I don't think you'll believe me if I just tell you.
That's fair. Then she goes and follows.
Okay. You step into the woods. And like most of the rest of the woods you've been in recently, it is thoroughly snowed under. But you also see something else. And it sees you. More accurately, they see you.
I don't like that.
In kind of a semicircle in front of you, the trees appear to be moving. At least, that's what it looks like at first. As you take a closer look, I'm going to post another bit of art. They look like humanoid shapes. In fact, human shapes. As if they are slowly transforming into a tree. Also, humans don't have antlers. And these do. And that's weird.
Don't say. Motherfucker, that might as well be a Wendigo. What are you doing to me?
Wrong set of mythology.
I'm aware it is. It's not the correct description that you gave, but that picture gives me strong Wendigo vibes.
Yeah, you know. These weren't here before.
No, they certainly were not.
You have no idea what these are, do you?
Do you?
Yeah, obviously.
Then why are you bothering to ask me? Just tell me what they are. You know how little I've read about this kind of stuff before all this.
It's more fun to keep you on your toes.
Milo, every damn day keeps me on my toes. Give me a break.
I guess. Anyway, these are Leshens. Forest spirits, they take over people and turn them into that.
Oh, is that all they are?
Well, there might be another name for them around these parts, but that's what they called them in Europe.
But what mythology is this from?
Oh, you know, Eastern Europe. They were really common back in the day. You piss off the right forest god, and then you become that. Forever.
Well, I am making serious effort not to piss off any spirit. I'll hope that this trip continues. I'm actually hoping to come out here and talk to Unkimaka, if possible.
If you considered, she might be the forest god they pissed off.
That's my sincere hope. And that there isn't yet another very powerful deity that we need to worry about.
Good point. Well, I guess we go looking for the turtle.
Tortoise, but yes.
Turtle, tortoise, schmortus. Nah.
Not quite the same.
You spend too much time with Alec.
That was the other day, but yes. Do you want me to pick you up and carry you, or are you okay with walking through the snow?
And he rubs up against your leg at a very cat-like, fuck it, pick me up.
She does pick him up.
as you are strolling through the woods, the Leshans remain. And seem to kind of circle around you and fall into place as a... Well, it kind of depends on how you interpret it. They might be an honor guard. They might be watching for you to do something stupid. Could just be an escort. But you are definitely have them on all sides of you.
And Naomi is very thoroughly spooked out, but she is continuing to walk.
You arrive at a small clearing in the woods. And spot a familiar face. Onki Maka. Except she is bigger this time. When you saw her before, she was about average sized for a gopher tortoise. Just with all the forest shrubbery growing off of her back. She still looks like a gopher tortoise. But now she's closer to a Galapagos tortoise size. And she is slowly making her way across the clearing towards you.
Naomi will approach so that Onki Maka doesn't have quite as far that she has to walk, and then wait. And give a bow as well.
Tortoises don't really smile. But you get the feeling that if she could, she would be.
Yes.
Hello, child.
It's good to see you again, Onki Maka.
And you as well.
I wanted to come and thank you for your help the other day. And calling Alec and helping me out.
You are welcome. That worm beast seemed to have designs on you.
Yes, and I'm sure that had the potential to go much worse. And instead, I got to see an old friend again and have an interesting little adventure. So, again, thank you.
You are most welcome. What think you of the forest?
I noticed your new additions. The forest seems to be getting larger, much faster, too.
As you say that, one of the Leshans almost bumps into you as it strolls past.
It makes Naomi jump.
And plants its hand into the ground. And its fingers seem to grow as if turning into roots. And it snaps its own wrist off. Steps back. And you watch the hand grow back. And where the hand and the bit of arm were in the ground... grows into a tree sapling.
Yes. Well, that is their task. They harmed the forest, and now they grow it.
That certainly explains that.
Be warned. Their wrath is terrible.
I have no designs whatsoever to be causing any problems for them.
Good. That is wise.
You said that they are ones that harmed the forest.
Yes. Wanton destruction. Fire. They were careless. many trees were lost. Now many.
Understandable. I have a few things I wish to discuss with you, Grandmother Tortoise, but this does add a new thing to it. If any of the people from my town, from Kirkland, start behaving in a way that harms the forest, would it be okay that I request you let me know before taking action? I do not wish for anyone of Kirkland to be causing harm to your forest. I want to make sure that we keep them from doing so and that we can regulate our own people.
This seems agreeable.
It's much, much appreciated. This also helps us know who is willing to listen to us and who isn't.
I believe you, unlike these men, understand that there is a balance. I know your kind has need of wood, and I do not begrudge that. In balance and in respect.
Of course.
Just as every animal has need of sustenance, which it can take from the forest, wantonness and disrespect are another matter.
Of course. Unfortunately, there are people who do such things not necessarily out of disrespect or greed, but ignorance. And if any of our people are ignorant, I wish to teach them better.
Good. That is your task.
Thank you. I also come here because I wanted to let you know that there are forces that are coming into play even more so than before. And I wanted to warn you in case they decided to come to your forest, though they do seem to be a fair ways out. But also, people are spreading. People that mean others harm. People that would probably mean this forest harm as well. They call themselves the Risen Kingdom. And they are a group of mages that look to enslave all other mages.
Unfortunate. But it is the way of men.
It is. And I don't expect you to be doing anything about it. I only wish to tell you, due to the fact that in these additional fortresses that they are building, they are clearing land in order to create them. And if they continue to spread, they may wish to do that to your forest as well. If you or the spirits of this forest under you notice any suspicious activity, I would greatly appreciate it if you could bring that to my attention. I know you're perfectly capable of handling your forest and protecting it. And I'm hoping that we can do the same for our people as well. And anything that we can do to assist you, I will do my best to do so.
Very well. I will send the word if the need arises.
Thank you.
Take care, Naomi Gilmore.
There is one additional thing.
Yes.
I am looking at setting up additional protections for Kirkland, and that involves me working on building a shrine for the spirit. Is there anything that I can do to give you honor within this shrine?
She's quiet for a long moment. And one of the Leshens walks directly up to you. Holds out a hand. And in the palm of the hand is the already growing sapling of a tree. Now you can see where the seed has split and the tree has begun to grow.
Naomi will reach her hand out.
Bring the forest into your shrine. And the forest is honored.
I can do this.
Good.
Thank you very much for your time. I won't be troubling you any longer today.
She dips her head and turns around and starts slowly meandering over to inspect the newly planted tree.
And
Milo, uncharacteristically quiet through this entire exchange.
Smart of him. With Milo scooped up under one arm and the other hand holding a little sapling, Naomi is going to turn and make her way back out of the woods.
Okay. And back to Kirkland?
Yes.
Okay.
And as she's walking, Naomi's going to describe what she saw via Maeve's back to Milo.
Okay. Well. Romans? Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It looked like the military as well, but using some Roman armor, and I don't know how much of it is like the Archibald stuff with the whole Renaissance fair and how much of it is not. I don't understand what's going on.
I suppose we'll find out.
I guess.
And that is where we're going to call it.
Wonderful.